Going to be in Psalm 106, Psalm 106, and give you a second to get there. And I started thinking, boy, what a strange, you know, we're in a strange time. You know what we'd be getting ready to do today if we hadn't had the COVID? You know what today would be? We'd be leaving for Bible camp right after church today. We'd have all, I told Sari last night, boy, we'd be doing the wash and packing up the camper and packing all our clothes. This is the week that we would leave to go to Bible camp. 19 years, probably, around 19 years, I think, in a row, we have gone to Bible camp except this year. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed blessing. It's sad a lot as well, as there's a tiring part of it that you probably don't miss too much about not going to camp. And then, of course, the carnival would have been in full swing all last week. Didn't get my chili cheeseburger, which I didn't need. Didn't get my vinegar fries, which I could probably make those. We could probably fix that up. But, you know, didn't get the usual non-dietary food that we do. And then the fireworks show and all that, although I thought I was going to have to call the police last night over there near our house. I don't know how y'all hacked it out down there, Brian, you and Danielle. Man, sounded like a zombie apocalypse was going on. I was ready to lock and load, man, go out there and... And my driveway alarm was ringing this morning. I usually know it is deer, but I dove out of bed and ran out there and looked because you never know, you know. Nowadays, I was ready to go. Barely got enough ammunition to shoot anything with. You can't get that. And so anyhow, it's just a strange, we're in a strange time. And I thought about it as I got ready to, you know, thinking about the 4th of July and you know, the time that we grew up in and we think about our nation, and, you know, you want to be proud of your nation. And then, you know, sometimes I make some comments about things that may be taken out of context. I'm proud of my nation. I have hope for my nation. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not proud of everything that my nation has done. I am not proud at all of the laws that have been passed that are contrary to what God teaches, God's laws. I could name them off, and there's a lot of them, and those things. And, you know, we can't be, you know, it's harder to be proud of my country. I have hope for my country. I do. But it's getting harder and harder because, you know, we can't just be proud of a country for a country's sake. We have to be proud of what it stands for. And there's a lot that we can't be and shouldn't be proud of as we stand for our country. Now, I'm praying like mad, and I pray every day for our country. And so we think about that. We look around today and we see, and you know what was good about Johnny Cash's song there? He kind of went over some of the turmoil and things over the years. And we look around and we see a lot of division today. We've got this virus going on. We've got division on how to do it. You know, people are getting in fights over wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, and all those type things. We've got ethnical issues, and I don't like to use the term race because there's only one race according to the Bible. There's only one race of people. We got different ethnicities, Asians, Caucasians, black, yellow, red. You know, I mean, there's all those ethnicities, but they all came from the same source. You know, Adam and Eve. That was God's plan. So we're ethnically divided. I don't think we're divided as much as what the news media would have us to believe. Is there what they call racism? Sure. Will it ever be eradicated? Never. Never, because it's a heart of man problem. It's not going to go away. Other people have said the same thing. This police officer's action months ago started what's going on. But that's not a national ongoing everyday occurrence. It's not. It's just not. Will it happen again? Probably. It's sad that it happens, even to one person. But it's not like I saw a protest. Something happened down in Marion, Virginia, of all places. And I don't know if you ever been down around Marion and all that. But somebody, I think they burned a cross or something on somebody's lawn. It was a black man's lawn. Now I'm gonna tell you, spent my summers down there as a kid. There's just not a lot of black people down there. They're just not. But they had a big protest about them burning that and all that. You know what? It was mostly all white people because there's not that many black people now. There's mostly all white people in the protest protesting somebody else burning a cross in them. And that's America. That's America. That's what we see. It's not like what the news media portrays, that It's just like this massive amount of racism going on in our land. There is some, sure, but it's not like this major problem where we got to have a major civil disturbance that we see. People are they're defacing statues. I saw one on Facebook, a statue that was defaced. That it was one of the it was a white man's statue, but he was like one of the main proponents of abolishing slavery. I mean, this was what he did. This was the greatest thing he ever did. Had a league and all that. But they don't really care right now. People are just tearing down things. They don't know. Probably young people, kids, teenagers with the paint cans and things. You know, we don't. They're just like anarchy. That's what they want. And we just got to not let it happen and not keep looking at the news. You know, that's a good thing to turn off, as a matter of fact. But we see unrest is what I'm saying. Socially, financially, even spiritual unrest as well. And it's real hard, you know, when we start thinking about celebrating our nation, the independence of our nation, when we got this in the background of our mind and we're thinking about celebrating our nation, it's a hard, you know, you got some strife there internally, at least I did, thinking about that. I saw somebody on Facebook and I shared it, and it said, I miss the America I grew up in. Boy, what a sentiment. My sentiments exactly. Just in 50 years, it's a far cry from what it was. Now, it wasn't perfect 50 years ago. It's never been perfect. But it's a far cry from what it is today. In the last 50 years, what has gone down the drain, most of what I'm not proud of about our country happened in the last 30 years, probably. Most of it, what happened there. We got some things going in the right direction. But anyway, like I said, still love my country, and I still have hope for my country. But I think, you know, we have to, as Americans, and as Christians, you know, that we have to look honestly. We have to look honestly at things. You know, some people, you got those family cliques, like, you can't get in a fight with one family member. You got to fight the whole family. It doesn't matter if that family member was wrong. You know, they got that. And we got that mentality sometime with America. You know, but we really sometimes have to look honestly at our nation and see, you know, what is going on and really evaluate that. Some of the crazy things that we see today, like that defund the police department. The people that think this is going to be a good idea, anybody with a rational mind, I don't care if they're lost, saved, Democrat, Republican, anybody with a rational mind thinking about, let's just do away with the police, that's going to be great. I mean, anybody really, you know, can you, and there's, you know, when they first said that, I thought, oh, it's just a bunch of morons running their mouth about it. And then Then cities and people started thinking, yeah, let's do it. We're going to try. Oh, my gosh. I saw one in Virginia. There was a legislator that's trying to get the penalty for assaulting a police officer is a felony, and he's trying to get that reduced down to a misdemeanor. And I'm thinking, now, this is going to be good? I mean, a good thing? I'm just getting it all secondhand. I don't know what happened, but they said they touched a police officer and they got a felony for touching a police officer. Well, you know, the problem there, I don't think, is with the law. The problem is with some judge that didn't have enough common sense to separate a bump from an assault. You know, there's a difference right there, and that was the problem there. And so, I mean, you know, if somebody's flat out assaulted, that ought to be in a felony. I'm not saying you get in an argument and you're bumping chest or something. That shouldn't be a felony. But, you know, I understand that. But this is some of the stuff that is coming to the forefront that they think this is going to better our nation or better our country. And, you know, I just can't believe with some of the things that somebody with rational thought would think these things are okay. I saw one post that said they said years ago when they took prayer out of school that they wondered what our nation would look like down the road. Well, now we're seeing it. I saw kind of a funny one. It said everybody, you know, we always joke around about the zombie apocalypse. I know that's not going to happen. But they said, I wonder what a zombie apocalypse would look like. Well, now you know. It looks like what's going on in the nation today. You know, that's what that looks like. And so, you know, it's just, there's some things there. And I like to get back, you know, because I'm a gospel preacher and we get to the Word of God and we're Christians and we're living in this country. So we're part of the country, and we got to look at, you know, not only we look at an honest look at ourselves, as a nation, but I think we have to honestly look at ourselves as Christians, the church. We represent the church, and we look at that. In our text in Psalm 106, verse 13, it's speaking about the nation of Israel, of course. It says, they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. And as I said, we do thank you for our nation, and we're praying for it. And Lord, but help us to look at our own selves as Christians, your people. Lord, evaluate honestly. Lord, help us turn back to you. We need a revival, and we need it bad. And Lord, and we're praying for that. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see in, of course, the reference to Israel, and was speaking about them, and I just kind of looked at that. I was reading another devotion book earlier in the week, and I got that automatic mind that can read and think about something else at the same time, and I've had to fight that all the time. But I read this scripture right here, and it just grabbed me, and I thought, wow. And then when I started thinking about preaching today, I thought, you know, I went back and looked at that verse a little bit, and I wanted to look at that. And you know, we're looking at Israel. Israel was a nation that had a covenant relationship with God. They had a covenant relationship with God, and there's some points that we can look at, and then I think it'll help us today. The very first point is, I didn't give you notes, I'm sorry. God's blessing, the very first thing. Israel was God's chosen people, and I just mentioned that, and they had this covenant relationship. God initiated the covenant. God was the one that made a covenant with this nation of Israel. No other nation has a covenant relationship with God in it nationally but Israel. And God blessed that nation. God blessed them. God protected them. God provided for them. God led them. You know, we know that actually if you read this whole psalm, it goes over them going out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And that was before this. And then it started into verse 13, right there that I spoke about. Well, as the United States, you know, in God we trust is our motto. And we have the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, one nation under God. We understand that. But you know what? We don't nationally have a covenant relationship with God like Israel had. We don't have that. There, you know, God owes us nothing by way of promise nationally. There might be a promise or two that you could grab onto, but not in that same covenant relationship that Israel has. And when we look in our history as a nation and what makes America, we talk about our nation. I don't believe it's as great as it was at one time. I believe it's notched down, and I know why. I know why. It's not a mystery. I believe it could be back to where it was. The reason that we have been blessed by God in our nation's history, why was the nation blessed by God? Well, you back right up. I don't even know if they teach this in school anymore, but they did teach history when I grew up. And one of the things was that most of the people, not all of them, but most of the people came to the United States seeking religious freedom. This is what they want. They wanted religious freedom. I mean, there was the promise of making money and finding your new land and all that, but they didn't want to be under the church, the state church. In other words, where, and especially like England, where they said, you know, you will be under the Church of England, you're going to be, that's where you're going to go. You know, you didn't have an option. So religious freedom. So the people had a desire to worship God. See, we don't understand that today. It's relatively easy. I mean, we got the COVID business to deal with, but we got churches everywhere, and anytime you feel like it, you can get up. If you decide to go, you can get in your vehicle and get down to a church somewhere. You can turn on the radio. You know, you can hear preaching. You can worship God. You can do that. And it's odd in with Christianity. It seems like the more that it's persecuted and the more that it's oppressed, that the more people want to do it. It's like the little kid that you tell them, you can't go in that room. You can go in all the rest. And what do they want to do? They want to go in that room. And when they were told, listen, you can't worship the way you want to and you can't worship God, the people did everything in the apostles' time. That's where the fish symbol came from, if you don't know the history behind that. They had to have secret meetings because they get persecuted. So the symbol was they put a fish on a wall If the fish was pointing that way, go that way. And you'd go that way and you'd follow them fish symbols around, you'd find out where the meeting was. So it was easier, it was easier today, but yet we take that for granted. You know, we take it that these people had a desire that came to this nation to worship God. That's what they wanted to do. I remember studying American history, and when you dig down in there, this is the down in there stuff. You dig down in there, I found out this, that in most of the towns and most of the villages, and if you go and look at the history of Jamestown, where 1607, I think, when they settled Jamestown, they had the Mayberry Minutemen on the other day, kind of brushed up on my history a little bit. But in Jamestown, the first buildings that most all the first building that got built in all the little towns and villages in early America, colonial America, was the church building. They got that built up first. A lot of times they were living in old tents and lean-tos and stuff. They got the church building built first because they knew worship was important. That was a priority. They knew that God was a priority. You wonder why God blessed America? Because God was a priority. And then they had all the other meetings there. If they had to have a town meeting, they did it at the church. Everything revolved around the church. Matter of fact, most of those little towns and villages at the time, the church was right in the center of the town. They built the church and everything built out from that. That's where it went. That was the center of town. That's why you go down Main Street, USA today in the old towns right here in Buckhannon. Look what's on Main Street. The churches are competing with the antique shops. we got churches down there on Main Street. That's just the way it was. And that was the way, you know, how it should be. That was the beginning of God blessing America. And so this priority in most Americans' lives, I say most, not all, but most Americans' lives. Listen, our forefathers, they used the Bible as a guide when they framed the Constitution of the United States, and when they framed the Declaration of Independence, and when they decided to make the laws, what's going to be against the law and not against the law, guess what they used? They used the Bible, the Word of God. Not all the politicians were Christian men, but they knew about Christianity. They knew about the Word of God. It was more of a frequented discussion topic, you know, was the Word of God. And they even knew that, and they knew that's where they had to go. And so they turned to the Word of God. Now listen, I'm not looking at American history through rose-colored glasses, because if you dig far enough in history, you can see all the dirt too. Listen, politics was involved, sure was. There was political things going on even in those days. Not everybody was saved. I understand that. That wasn't on everybody's mind. But Christian values prevailed because the majority of the people were Christians, and that was the rule of the day. That's why God blessed America. That's how America was blessed. And so the church then was prevalent and relevant. It was prevalent and relevant. The church was in that day. It had some power. It had some sway in over the land at the time. And God blessed because of that. Just the other day, a week or so ago, I was reading in my daily Bible readings, and I was in 2 Samuel, and remember when David decided he was going to bring the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was the visible, physical presence of God. Had the tablets in there and had a bowl of manna and some other things. Had them in there, Aaron's staff, I think. They had that in the Ark, and he decided to bring it back to Jerusalem. You know, it had gotten taken when Israel had been in spiritual decline and Eli was the high priest, and the ark had been taken by the Philistines. Of course, God caused it to be a curse to them, and they sent it somewhere. And anyway, David decided he was on the throne now, it's going to bring it back, but he didn't do it the right way. It was supposed to have been carried up on staves. They would slip through the rings on the ark, and they had to carry it. Man would carry it, but he decided, sounded good, build a new cart, and we're going to put the ark on that cart. And that wasn't how God intended for it to be moved. It wasn't to be moved on a new cart. And anyway, along the way, the ark jiggled a little bit, and Uzzah, a man named Uzzah, put his hand on the ark, and you couldn't touch it. And he put his hand on the ark to keep it from falling, and God killed him. And it put fear into the people's hearts, and it put fear in David's heart. And so they were near a man's house, Obed-Edom, and they said, let's drop it off here for a little while because we're afraid and we're not sure what to do. Now, you know, they prayed and got the cart before the horse, and so to speak. They didn't pray about how to do it. So they put the cart at the Ark of the Covenant at Obed-Edom's house, and it was there for 3 months. And in 2 Samuel 6:12 it says, The Lord bless the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So he was, just because the presence of God in this physical sense, that ark of God was in his house. And boy, there's a lot of lessons right here for the home. But the ark of God was in the house. He blessed him and all that pertaineth to him. And it got back to David. They said, boy, Obed-Edom, he's really been blessed. And David said, okay, we're going to do it right this time. We're going to get that ark back to Jerusalem. And he brought it back. But I started thinking about this. God doesn't owe us anything nationally. I'm telling you, I sort of thought about that too. If he gave us what he owed us. Huh? What if we got what we deserve? But as far as blessing go, he certainly doesn't owe us anything nationally by way of a covenant. But you know, he has a covenant with God's people. He has a covenant with the church. This is the new covenant, the New Testament. We're in the New Testament. He does have a covenant with us. And there's some ifs involved in that. But I thought about it this way. The reason that God blessed America is because of the church. The only reason that God blessed America is because of the church. I don't mean the church building. I mean the people of God. That's the only reason. It's like the church today is the visible and physical presence of God. That's what people can see. See, they ride by the road and they see a church, they see a steeple, they see a cross. They said that represents God to them. If they see you and they know you're a Christian, that represents God. Whether they hate you or love you, that doesn't matter. It still represents God to them. And so the church is that the thing, and the land was full of churches, and people were worshiping God. The percentage is going down, down, down. Every year it's going down. But back in those days, 90% probably did. It's not nowhere near 90 now. But that was the blessing that we received nationally, was because of the church of God that he did have a covenant with, not the nation. He's got a covenant with the church. Now, part of the reason that explains why the church is under attack, because Satan opposes God. That's the big picture right there. And so the church is in America, and it's going to be attacked. It gets attacked from the out, from without. It gets attacked from within. We understand that. And listen, if one thing doesn't work, Satan will use another. He doesn't really care. Can Satan use a virus to attack the church? You bet. You bet he can. He'll use anything. He doesn't care, as long as he gets what he wants as far as the church goes. So why did God bless? Because of the church, the Christian people. That's why God blessed America, because people came here to worship God, and they did worship God. But I'm going to tell you what, when we cease to worship God and the church ceased to be filled up, God doesn't owe us anything, not nationally. No, this nation will go down so fast it'll make your head spin. The second thing, God forgotten, we see in verse 13. Look here, it says, they soon forget his works. These are the people that saw the Red Sea parted, for crying out loud. They saw Moses going head to head with Pharaoh's magicians and turning the river into blood, and all the plagues that came on, and then the parting of the Red Sea and the pillar of a cloud by day and a fire by night. They saw all that, but it said that they soon forgot. In verse 13, the way it read, they soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. Doesn't that waiting not for his counsel, not listening to God, not going to church, not reading your Bible, not studying your Bible, not listening to your Bible? They forgot about it. I was talking to Brother Vest last week, and he told me, we were just talking, pastors talking about, how's it going, man? How's the COVID thing going? He said he had 70 people inside last week and 50 on the outside. But he said, I'm going to tell you what, when Wednesday night got here, the prayer meeting night, he said Wednesday night I had 21 people. Now, that ain't fear of the COVID. That's not COVID fear. That's just laziness and not having a priority on it. Boy, if there's ever a time for God's people to get together and have a prayer meeting, brother, it's now. Amen. Right now, man, we got to get together and skip over, not to shed anything lightly on people that are sick, but boy, we got to get a little bit past that. I mean, we got to start praying for God to pour His Spirit out on us and change our hearts so we can get, like I said, Brother Dwayne, I'm going to find out how you getting the lost people down there on Wednesday night. I'm just trying, I'm still on lesson number one, getting the saved people in on Wednesday night so that we can pray and get together and just pour our hearts out to God and spare us sitting there watching CNN and that garbage and moaning and groaning about the state of the nation. Get down there and pray to God and do something about it as God's people. That's what we got to do right there. And it says that they waited not for His counsel. And then look what it says in verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. You know, they didn't pray. They didn't study His word. They waited not. You know what happened to them? Yeah, I saw the old thing on TV the other day. Remember Virginia's motto? You know what Virginia's motto is? Our little, huh? Virginia's for lovers. Well, I saw a commercial. Used to be they really promoted that. They had bumper stickers and all that came back up. That's what happened to them. They became lovers. I read it last week. Remember last week I hit just a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days perilous times shall come. And two verses that go to this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? As evidenced by the fact that men are lovers of themselves. What's the most important thing? My comfort, my well-being, my fun, my pleasure. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Huh? Y'all, you can get people, man. I mean, we'll go thousands and thousands of miles to go on vacation to have fun or to do something to have fun, but to try to get somebody to come to church. You know, if there's any inconvenience whatsoever. No, it's the lovers of pleasures. That's the church's problem. That's America's problem. America, listen, man, what's driving? The driving force in America is pleasure. The driving force. We want money so that we can have more fun. That's what we want money for. And we buy and we got to have. And look at most of the stuff that we buy revolve around pleasure, what we can do, how much fun we can have, where we can go, what we can spend. Let's get some. That's the driving thing. There's something inside of us, naturally, that makes us want to be happy. And you can be, you know, somewhat happy having fun, I suppose, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last very long. I believe that's what's wrong with churches on Sunday night. I believe that's what's wrong with churches on Wednesday night, even among God's people. Because of the effort, the time, the inconvenience to come back. So that's all it would be. If we don't want to do anything for God, it's got to be... It's God and self. There's you know, you just get far enough back down the line, here's the battle. It's me and God. Either God's going to be first or you're going to be first. And anytime God's not first, you're first in your mind. You know, that's it. So I believe that's the problem with churches and even to a degree Sunday mornings as well. It happened to Israel, and this was God's covenant people, God's chosen people. And it's happening in America. And more specifically, it's happening in the church. That's just the way, that's being honest with, that's an honest evaluation, right? Am I right? Yeah. Huh? I mean, yeah, I'm right. I mean, this is true. And then after we forget God, you know, I was going to say, think about this. I thought about old Obed-Edom. Man, can you imagine having in that day the ark or the physical presence of God in your house? To the place that it blessed, that God blessed you and blessed everything you had. What a sad day when David came and said, hey, listen, man, we're going to move it back to Jerusalem. Huh? What about 3 more months? You know, just, huh? And then they took the ark away. Now, what would have happened to Obed-Edom if he'd have never said, no, I'm not going to have the ark stay? I'm not saying that he would have been cursed by any means, but he might have been. But we wouldn't have heard about him, for sure. He wouldn't have the blessing. But I started thinking about it. I wonder where every time there was a worship service after that, where do you think old Obed-Edom was after they took that ark out of his house? Because they would go to the temple and then eventually the temple and there would be the ark there. I don't care how far it was, how far away, whatever effort, I bet you he got himself to the presence of God. No matter what. That's what he did, that because he knew what it was like to have it. I just happened to think about that when they took it away. I bet he cried. But I'm going to tell you what, he still had God in his heart, right? Well, they forget God. The next step is forsaking God. And America is increasingly, or has always increasingly, depended upon her wealth, her wisdom, and her military strength instead of God. But look what Isaiah 31:1 says. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Egypt always pictures the world. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. He said, woe. God said a woe to them that putting their trust in something other than the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 40:15 says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Here's the United States in the eyes of God. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the balance, talking about scales. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. What that verse is telling us right there, the nations, as far as nations go, are nothing to God. No, nations are just matter. You know, you put your trust in that or put your trust in your nation instead of God. He said, it's dust on a balance. He said, it's a drop in a bucket. It's nothing. It's nothing there. God doesn't, as I said, owe America anything. And we failed just like Israel failed. We failed the same way. We succumbed to lust of the flesh. You remember what happened to them? They wanted food. Listen, God was giving them manna from heaven every day. God gave them water out of the rock. I guarantee you, when Moses smote that rock the first time, he smote that rock and water come out. I bet you that was the best water you ever drank in your life. Huh? I bet you there wasn't nothing else, not even a cup of coffee, that would have tasted better than that water right there. A soda or nothing. That was the best water that God, they had the best water. I bet you that manna, I'd like to try some of it. Huh? But they wasn't happy. And that's it. I'm going to tell you what, today it doesn't matter what God gives his people, what happens to us. We get that lust of the flesh. We got to have more. We got to have more. We got to have more. We just got to have it. They wanted more of different food. They weren't satisfied with what God was giving them. That's our problem today. We're not satisfied with what God gives us. And that's why I'm going to tell you what, man, it's hard for a church, an individual church. It's hard for a preacher. It's hard for anybody in the ministry to compete with what the world is offering. Unless somebody has got their heart right with God and they finally have got to the place in their life where they understand that that world out there is not going to satisfy you. There was nothing in Obed-Edom's life. Nothing ever happened to him the rest of his life that was as great as that Ark of the Covenant sitting in his house in the presence of God in his house and blessing. I mean, I don't care if he got to be a billionaire of the day, had more cattle than anybody in the history of the world. Nothing was going to compare to that. But the Christian people, they got so cluttered up minds, they don't understand that. And if you ever get really close to God, you're going to learn really quick that nothing's going to replace that. Nothing's going to replace God. But a lot of Christians haven't got, they got saved, oh good, I'm not going to hell, man, that's it. And they think that's all to Christianity. They don't have a relationship with God. And so what it is, they're still trying to get satisfied by doing something in the world, and it just doesn't work. But we spend all our time and energy doing that. And that's the problem. We've done what Israel did. And they saw it. They saw God in the wilderness working and doing miracles. They saw great and mighty works of God. They knew God was the real deal, and yet they soon forgot about that and lusted after what Egypt had for them, for crying out loud. Egypt had slavery. That was it. Then the pride of life. You know, these same people, here was God's man Moses. They rebelled against Moses, believe it or not. They rebelled against Moses, and they wanted to replace him. You know what happens when you become unsatisfied in your own life? You think it's everybody else's fault. Huh? If you get down here at this church and you're sitting here and, boy, I just ain't getting nothing out of it. You know what? I'm just never read your Bible, never get in the Word of God, never do anything for God. You know whose fault it is? Me. Well, it's not whose fault it is, but who you think. You think that preacher down there, I'm either going to get rid of him or I'm going to go to another church and find me somebody else. But the problem's not there. And we look on the political scene today. What, you know, every man, we go to this party, to that party. You go this many years, go 8 years with one party, then you go 8 years with another. And then you go 8 years and we're trying to find, we can't be satisfied. So we want to get rid of the leaders. They wanted to get rid of Moses, for crying out loud. Now we look back at the greatness of Moses. They weren't satisfied. Huh? They wanted to get all the great prophets. I told you last week. You know what happened? God's people stoned them to death. They weren't satisfied with that. So the pride of life, they rebelled against that. And then the lust of the eyes. They were went right after this, and I didn't read that far, but you know what happened to Israel? They wanted to, Moses was up on there talking to God on their behalf and getting the law and going to bring the law back down there. And they got down there partying, man. They wasn't satisfied. And they wanted a God that they could see. Huh? They wanted a God they could see. And they made a golden calf. It's not an accident that they made the calf out of gold. Because gold represents what? Money. Huh? That's the God. What's the God of most people in the world? Man, they don't care who they put in office as long as the money's good. I had a lady tell me that. She didn't believe with what our president was doing at the time. I would tell you who it was, but I won't. I'll stay out of the politics. She, I don't agree with all he does, but the economy's really good. You know, the prostitutes probably don't think that prostitution's good, but the money's good. Huh? I mean, they probably don't think it's a good thing, but the money's good, right? I mean, you know, they don't agree with it. It's the right thing to do. That's prostitution. That's what it is. You sell your beliefs out and elect somebody that's not godly and you think's going to fatten your wallet up. That is prostitution. You sold your beliefs out for something ungodly. It's the same thing. So they sold out for that. And look at verse 15. And it says, and God, it's talking about he, God, gave them their request, but he sent leanness unto their soul. What do you think that there's a chance that God has given us nationally what we want, nationally, what America wants? You know what we really want? You know what, when you was a kid, how many of you moved away from home when you graduated high school and you got ready to move away from home? Anybody do that? I did that. I moved away just a month after I graduated. I had a job all lined up. Man, I was ready to tear out and go because now mom and dad wasn't telling me. And they had cut me some slack when I got a little bit older, but I felt a little weird doing something that I hadn't done, you know. But remember that? You didn't want to be under them reins. Remember the prodigal son in the Bible? Remember that guy? Remember he wanted to get out from underneath daddy's rule so he could go out and do what he wanted to do? How many of you remember that? Huh? You ran out there and how many of you messed up like a million and one times, right? But what it was, you know what we wanted? We didn't want no restraints. That's still in the heart of a natural man. And it's still in the heart of the saved man, too, if he don't reel it in with God. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We don't want God telling us what to do. There's something in us that doesn't, we want. And so what do we see in today? We look around, see, we don't want restraints. We just want, and that. So, okay, let's get rid of the cops. Let's get rid of the laws and the politicians. Out there in Seattle, they tried that little chop city. They had, oh, it's going to be just a peaceful little utopia. And it's just going to be so great. And CNN and NBC and all them liberal stations, they went and they said, oh, yeah, they reported on it. Wasn't a week later, man, they had a guy was killed and three other people got shot. And I think somebody else done got killed. A woman got raped. None of them major news networks reported that. That's what's in the heart of man. But what we wanted, we don't want that. We don't want that restraint. So God said, okay, I'll give it to you. Go ahead, tear it up. Prodigal son, be a good story for that. He found out what happened. God said, I'm going to give you what you want. He ripped and run and rioted and blew it all. He sent leanness unto his soul. See, we're going to have leanness in our soul. And I wonder nationally if God's not giving this nation what it wants. Giving us what we lust after. And then we look at the last point, God's returning. And we know the Lord's going to return one day. And what we need right now, though, is a returning of our nation, and more particularly, the church, to God. We need to return to God. We do. Listen, man, we get in. I've evaluated my ministry while this is going on and how we've done things, and if we ever get back to normal, we're going to do some different things. Ain't going to be no mealy-mouthed Sunday night service. Uh-uh. No, we're going to do it different, or we ain't going to do it at all. We're going to do a full-blown service on Sunday night just like we do on Sunday morning. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I mean, I just looked at that. It's just, we got to return to God. The church has got to do it. Judgment has to begin at the house of God. I know the Lord, you know, a lot of people look at the sign of the times, and certainly the Lord's closer to coming back today than he was yesterday. I started thinking about events in history. I think I've shared this with you before. Imagine how Christians felt back in times, all the way back in Europe during the Black Plague, when the Black Plague was running rampant. People were dying. Remember that? Read about it, seen it on movies. Imagine what the Christians thought. Oh my gosh, it's the end of time, right? We're closer today than then. Then think about, you know, World War II, World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, Israel, the nation of Israel being wiped out, eradicated. I mean, certainly the Christians were thinking, man, this is it. The Lord's coming back. Hitler, they probably thought, man, look at that. And I thought about the Civil War, our own Civil War. You know, we studied all that, and there's a lot of that's on the forefront now. Confederate flag and all that business going on. We got that Civil War. And I thought about it. Just think how people felt in America when the Civil War was going on. Like, we could be having church, and all of us of age would have been probably in the fight, but fighting. Hearing cannons and near us, cities in America being razed to the ground, people, loved ones, relatives dying right here on our own soil. Think about the mindset of the Christians in that day in America, how they thought about either the Lord's return or how they also thought about their nation. Man, I bet you there was people that really doubted whether this nation would survive that. A civil war inside our own land. That was probably some harrowing, fearful, wondering times for Americans and particularly Christians when we think about that. But we need to return to the Lord before He returns, I think. We need to return to the Lord. And we need the prayers that we need, besides the usual ones that don't really address the issues as much, is pray for God to empower the church to once again be the salt and light that it's supposed to be in the world. I don't think you can do it without prayer. We got to pray about it. We need to pray for a spirit of repentance for our own self. We need to look in the mirror and say, hey, we got to turn back to God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. You know, if we're going to be really evaluate ourselves, we got to say, you know what, am I worshiping God, and am I trusting God, and am I believing God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and all my strength? And the answer would probably be no. There's something else that's taken away from that. So we need to pray for that. And any blessings that this nation has or has had is because of God's people, the church. And it's the only, as I said, the only covenant that He's in today. And so, God, we have to pray that God will help us. And if we forsake that, if we forsake that relationship with God, this nation has no hope. It's on the church. It's on us. We can't sit there and watch TV and sit inside these walls and say, boy, all them other people out there and all them politicians and all, it's on. No, it's the church. It's on us. God, help us if we forsake that relationship. How about it with you guys today? Where are you at in your relationship with God? All your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. What can we do? You know, if I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But if I'm going to be honest with myself, no, I'm not loving the Lord like that. You know what? Well, what would I do about it? You know, you pray to God about it. That's what you do. Be honest with God, because He already knows. And you say, God, man, I just don't love you that way. I don't, but I want to. I want to. You know what we do? We get down here around the altar best we can, spread out, and we'll pray. And I believe God will keep the virus off of us, and we're praying to Him, seeking Him. We pray. And do you have a relationship, a daily relationship with God? Listen, it's a great thing. Probably I was thinking, telling you about Brother Dwayne. I bet you them people that got saved is somebody that's been in church a long time that thought they was saved. I believe it's somebody that said, you know what, I don't believe I am saved, and they got right. So, question yourself. It's okay. And be honest. That's the greatest thing. And then just get right with God. Let's all stand. Paul's going to come lead.